What Happens in Switzerland?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Remember how the U.S. government was going to crack the secrecy of the Swiss banking system? The New York Times reports this morning the U.S. may drop part of that effort, its tax evasion case against Swiss giant UBS. The U.S. has been trying to force the bank to reveal the names of more than 50,000 wealthy American clients. From our European desk, Stephen Beard has more.
The newspaper says the U.S. may drop the case after intense lobbying by UBS and the Swiss government. Swiss-U.S. relations were said to be in danger of meltdown. It looks like the U.S. has caved on the names. But life may not become any easier for tax-dodging Americans, because in a separate development, Washington and Switzerland have just signed a new tax treaty. Anti-tax evasion campaigner Richard Murphy says that changes everything.
People will realize that hiding money in Switzerland is not going to protect them from IRS inquiry in the future. If there is a smoking gun, it will be followed, they will be caught.
And Murphy says, as a result of the case against UBS, scores of wealthy American clients, terrified of prosecution, have already declared their accounts. Many thousands are believed to have brought their money back onshore. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Swiss stock market is up about 0.5% this morning, as are European markets in general. Asian markets, though, got routed today, down 3%. Wall Street tumbled yesterday, too. The Dow lost 200 points and closed at 8,339. The broader S&P 500 fell even harder, down 3%, and it is now down for the year. Oil has been falling along with the stock market. Yesterday, the price of gas actually fell after an amazing two-month run-up. Regular unleaded now averages $2.69 a gallon. Costly gasoline has been just one of the many headaches for the auto industry. One of the states hit the hardest is Ohio, and that is where Vice President Biden will be today, talking about what Ohioans hope is the next great manufacturing boom. Here's Ohio Public Radio's Karen Kassler.
Suburban Toledo is the backdrop for the meeting, where the vice president, the commerce secretary, the car czar, and Ohio's governor will talk about the future of manufacturing. They'll run the town hall-style meeting in a solar cell manufacturing plant. And Ned Hill says it's a perfect location for such a discussion. He's a professor of economic development at Cleveland State University.
So if you're going to speak about the future of manufacturing, you might as well go to the battleground or the epicenter of the impact of the recession and the decline of the old domestic automobile industry.
Two of the nation's biggest solar cell manufacturers are located in Northwest Ohio. Hill says the region's traditions in auto and glassmaking mean the infrastructure is in place for this growing industry.
You can tell a story about how you can move old skills to new skills, old technology, new technology, but more importantly, old market to new market.
And this is important for Ohio. The U.S. Business and Industry Council says in the past decade, the state has lost more than 280,000 manufacturing jobs. I'm Karen Kassler for Marketplace.
Car makers can help recapture some of those manufacturing jobs if they adapt fast enough. That will be the pitch today. The Energy Department is expected to announce up to $25 billion in new loans to automakers to help them produce new energy-efficient cars. Reportedly, the first loans will go to Ford, Tesla, and Nissan, but not to GM or Chrysler because they don't qualify as financially viable.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com.
Now, here is another effect of the recession to add to your list. Homeless horses. There are thousands of them across the country. Their owners can't afford to care for them anymore. A lot of horse rescue centers are not in a position to help. Daryl Perinata filed this report.
He knows that mare. They're friends.
Ah. And so when Chris Vilmer runs Lifesavers Horse Rescue Center just north of Los Angeles. She boards and cares for more than 150 animals. In an office overlooking her 46-acre ranch, Vilmer says demand for her services has kicked into high gear in the past few months.
I'm fielding calls of people that just can't afford to pay for their horses anymore that need to place them somewhere.
Donations are down, and she can't afford to take in any more animals.
More horses need us, but donations are dipping.
It's the same story at the more than 500 organizations like Vilmer's across the country. Wayne Pacelli is president of the Humane Society of the United States.
I think so many of these sanctuaries and rescues that help horses have always struggled to make ends meet.
And the bad economy has made things even worse.
All nonprofits are tightening their belts in our sector. I think we're talking, you know, generally speaking, a 5 to 10, maybe 15% drop in revenue.
The falloff couldn't come at a worse time for many horse owners. Los Angeles resident James Gulledge recently had to return his Mustang, Rico, to Lifesavers.
It was just getting too expensive.
Boarding and caring for a horse can cost up to $4,000 a year. Gulledge works for a nonprofit that helps people with learning disabilities, and it's having its own problems finding money these days.
Being in the nonprofit sector, everything is very uncertain at this point. So I realized I needed to prepare for worst-case scenarios for me.
The worst-case scenario could be in store for many unwanted horses. Few buyers are coming forward, even though trade magazines and websites advertise horses for as low as a dollar. And a handful of states are considering bills to reopen slaughterhouses, to which the horses at Lifesavers say, that's horse talk for no way. In Los Angeles, I'm Daryl Perinata for Marketplace.
You can see and hear more of those horses, always a good way to start your morning, when you visit us online at marketplace.org. And one more horse note, if I may. The New York Times has a story this morning about how airports are cutting back on building projects. At the airport that serves Cincinnati, that means a long-term parking lot will become temporary housing for 900 horses attending a nearby equestrian event. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in this morning. Have a great Tuesday.
American Public Media.